The book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 12 through 21, though my focus will be on 18, 19, 20, and 21. Colossians, the third chapter, I would encourage you to keep your hand here. We'll be coming back to this passage. Today we finish our study on holy matrimony, as we've been looking at marriage from a Christian point of view. And it's only reasonable that as we conclude looking at holy matrimony, that we look at the topic of children. So I'm preaching more to the kids today than usual, perhaps. In fact, if they have an outline that they fill in and bring it to me, I have a gift for them after the service. So if they want to pay particular attention. As I read this, I remind you that this is the Word of God. So, as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now, how would those verses work itself out in family life? Well, wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Let's pray. Now, Father, we started this series looking at the Garden of Eden, looking at creation in the beginning. Father, we believe that you designed human beings, that we were created in your image, male and female, you created us. And that marriage was divinely ordained from the beginning. One man, one woman, for one lifetime. But Lord, we saw in that passage that you went on to tell this one man and this woman to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth. You created the first two, but from then on, it's up to us. That requires having children. Prodigy. It includes our children having children and their children having children and so on. So, Lord, this morning we look at what is often the result of one man, one woman, one lifetime, and that is children and family. So, Lord, give us wisdom as we conclude our series, but as we speak both to the kids, but also to the moms, and according to our passage, especially the dads, I pray. Amen. Greg and Sharon sit in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Greg pushing a baby carriage. Actually, in our case, it was a double baby carriage, yes. So we used to sing when we were kids. Now the names are interchangeable, of course, but the order wasn't. First comes love, then comes marriage, Then comes Greg pushing a baby carriage. Well, that's not the way it is anymore. Not always in that order. 41% of all U.S. births are out of wedlock. Now, that's the term the government uses, out of wedlock births, 41%. That means more than four out of every 10 children, four are born into a single-parent home or a family that is not married. We saw the word wedlock at the beginning of this series. It's related to the French word where we get matrimony, that it means lock. So wedlock refers to holy matrimony. So we kind of end up where we began, talking about holy matrimony. It was common that even in our text, verse 18, 19, 20, wives, husbands, and what do you have? Children. Also, couples no longer always want to push a baby carriage. The U.S. birth rate has fallen to 1.6. 1.6. Now, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that a birth rate that low means that eventually you are killing off your civilization. You need at least two, right? Mom and dad need two children to replace mom and dad. In fact, the statisticians say you really need 2.1 to keep a culture alive, to keep a civilization alive. But the birth rate has fallen to 1.6. Now you can Google all these numbers. I did not make them up. You can double check me on all these. There is one exception, by the way, to this falling birth rate, and it is among religious families. In fact, the United States Christians have 2.6 children. That's a good thing. Psalm 127 tells us, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. In fact, it goes on to use the illustration of a man facing his enemies with a quiver full of arrows. The more arrows in your quiver, the better. I also read this interesting statistic, I actually heard it being discussed on a podcast, and I went and looked it up. But currently, now again, COVID has impacted this greatly. Currently, 11.1% of families are homeschooling. And why I bring that up is, as I was listening to these two guys talk, the one guy said, well, if you're talking about homeschool, if there's that great percentage of homeschooling, and you figure each family has 1.6 kids, that's a lot of kids. And I kind of laughed out loud because I said, have you ever met a homeschooling family that only had one kid? Most homeschool families would be more likely to have 6.1 kids than 1.6, right? Even preceding the God is dead movement, atheists and secularists have believed that a belief in God would die out. If you talk to atheists and secularists 60 years ago, they'd have said by now there would not be any, there wouldn't be any religious people left. But what they didn't factor in was that people who believe in God have more children than those who don't. This is also true in the abortion movement. Why are we 50 years later still fighting this? You would have thought that would have settled it 50 years ago. But there's actually a very logical reason that it's still such a hot button issue. People who believe in abortion have less children. People who don't believe in abortion, I'm going to shock you, have more children. So we're replacing, so as a population is growing, you're actually replacing it with more people who grew up not believing in abortion. But the Bible design for holy matrimony is love, marriage, and children. Now again, I know we're speaking generalities. I understand that. Not every marriage is the same. There's all kinds of other factors to deal with as far as having children and so on. I understand that. But we see, even in this short text, that it's wives, husbands, and children. So I have a sermon for kids, and then a word to the parents. Hey, kids, the Bible speaks to you, too. The Bible speaks to you. This epistle, these letters that we're reading, they were originally written down and sent to churches. They didn't have copy machines, okay? They didn't have computers. They didn't have all these luxuries, so they were written by hand. So in this case, the Apostle Paul would write a letter. He would send it to the church at Colossae. They would gather, and they would hear the letter read. They didn't have Bibles. They didn't have it on their lap. They couldn't look it up on their phone. So these were actual letters, and they would gather. Hey, a letter has arrived from the Apostle Paul. Let's hear what he has to say. And then the pastor or whoever would read the letter aloud. And as he read it, he would come to parts like this, and he would say, hey, wives. Hey, husbands. And in verse 20, hey, kids. Here's what Paul has to say, especially for you. Right? Now, the whole letter was to kids. The whole letter was to wives and husbands and people who weren't married. But the point was, he is speaking directly through this letter to the various groups. So everything in it applies. That's why I read verses 12 through 17. All those words apply to everybody. But hey, wives, here's what Paul wrote directly to you. Hey, husbands, here's what Paul writes directly to you. Hey, kids, here's what Paul writes to you. The Bible speaks to you, too. You need to read the Bible, just like your mom and dad need to read the Bible. In fact, maybe you could all read it together. Now, these verses aren't the only ones in the Bible that are written to kids. Keep your hand here and just flip back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. In fact, this is a parallel passage. You'll notice the similarities between verses 20 and 21. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Again, he's addressing directly children. Children, listen. Hey, kids, here's his words to you. Here's what the Bible says to you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Again, referring to Exodus 20, 12, where this commandment is given to kids, directly to kids. All right, one of the Ten Commandments is written directly to kids. Honor your father and mother. All right. Now, and there's a promise with it, and that's verse 3, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That's a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 4. And what it means is, as the nation of Israel was founded, the strength of that nation would be upon the family unit, and that children should be obedient to their parents, so that it would go well as God tries to build this nation. Let me read just a couple verses from the book of Proverbs. Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Again, directly to kids. Listen to your mom. Listen to your dad. Verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 20. My son, observe the commandments of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Again, so the Bible speaks to you too. It has words for you too. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, the reason that the Bible was written for you too is that Jesus loved kids just like you. Jesus loves you. In fact, we know this because I could sing another song for you, right? Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. Right? How do I know Jesus loves me? The Bible tells us so. We need to read the scripture. It tells us of the love of God. In fact, one of my favorite stories is in Mark chapter 10. Jesus is traveling from city to city, village to village, town to town, and the disciples are with him. And the disciples sometimes never understood their real place there. They kind of acted like sometimes like his bodyguards, and sometimes like his schedule planner, right? So they're traveling around, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of parents with their children there, and they're all rushing Jesus, and they're trying to stop him. Jesus don't have time for you kids. Get away. He's a busy man. And it's one of the few places where it says Jesus actually got angry. He got angry at him. He said, "What are you doing? Let the little children come to me." And he hugged them. He blessed them. He laid hands on them. He loves children. We know that because the Bible tells us so. So, hey, kids, the Bible speaks to you. Just like it does to Mama and Daddy and Papa and Gigi. It speaks to you. Secondly, hey, kids, obeying your parents makes God happy. Again, look at verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Why? Why? For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Obeying your parents makes God happy. You know, God is a father too. I mean, us fathers, we carry a heavy load. We have to represent God, who's the perfect father. We don't always do that. We fail often. But God is a father also. And just like your father is happy when you obey, as Proverbs said, his commands, God is happy when we obey his commands. And as we learn to obey our father, we're learning to obey our father God, the Father in heaven. It makes God happy when we obey our parents. Listening to your parents is the right thing to do. Listening to your parents is the right thing to do. Even Jesus listened to his parents. There's a story, you know, in Luke chapter 2, where they were visiting Jerusalem, and Jesus began to teach in the temple when he was only 12 years old, and his parents couldn't find him, and they panicked, and they looked around. They couldn't find him. Finally, they found him in the temple, and they said, "What are you doing?" They said, "Oh, didn't you know I should be about my father's business?" And what he meant by that was God is his father. Correct. But then it says, he went with them and obeyed them, his parents on earth. Even Jesus listened to his parents. Even Jesus obeyed his parents. When you learn to obey your parents, you learn how to obey God. By the way, this is not unique to Christianity. In times and in places where Jesus is not known, obeying parents has always been taught. It's one of those universal truths. Societies are built on families, and families are built among mom and dad and kids listening to and obeying their parents. Listening to your parents helps you. Listening to your parents helps you. Again, that's why Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3 quoted the passage from the Old Testament, saying it'll give you long life. It'll bless you and give you long life. It helps you when you obey your parents. The problem is, it's hard to obey your parents. The reason it's hard to obey your parents is because they're not perfect. They're sinners just like you are. They're sinners. And guess what, kids? You're sinners. We're all sinners. That's why it's hard to obey. We are surrounded by sinners, and sin even lives within us. That brings us to the third point. Hey, kids, God wants your parents to help you know the Lord. God wants your parents to help you know the Lord. Ephesians 6, 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Sin makes it hard to obey your parents. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came and died. That's what the gospel is about. God made us. God created us. We were designed to be His children, to be in fellowship with Him. He's our Creator. But sin entered the world, and man became sinful, and man broke that fellowship with God. So God sent Jesus Christ to take away our sin, to take that punishment for our sin, to die in our place and give us new life in Christ. That's the gospel. We need the gospel, because left to ourselves, we're sinners. We cannot obey our parents. We cannot obey God. But that's why God sent Jesus. And it's your parents' job to help you know Jesus, to help you know the Lord. Hey, parents, your kid's heart is in your hands. Your kid's heart is in your hands. Look at verse 21, Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Now, yes, you can take that verse and say, well, that means parents. And it does. But I can't deny that the Greek specifically talks to fathers. Even in that passage in Ephesians 6, fathers are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not just mom's job. Yes, should it be a cooperation? Certainly. But Paul speaks to dads. Again, if you're reading this letter and the person reading the letter is out loud, he said, hey, wives, here's some instructions for you. Hey, husbands, here's some instructions for you. Hey, kids, here's some instructions for you. Hey, fathers, here's some instructions for you. Your child's heart is in your hands. It's your job to make your children obey. It's your job to make your children obey. Verse 20, children, be obedient to your parents in all things. It doesn't come automatic. It doesn't come natural. We both fight our sin nature. But nevertheless, they must be taught to obey. It's not the school's job to teach them to obey. It's not the church's job to teach them to obey. It's not the government's job to teach them to obey. It's your job to teach them to obey. If you don't teach them to obey, then guess what? They're not going to obey at school. They're not going to obey in society. Dad, you've got to. Now, it's a tough job. We'll talk about that more in a minute. I will also bring this up. In verse 18, it says, wives, be subject to your husbands. And we talked about this last week. That is a voluntary submission. Wives, as it's fitting in the Lord, as He is presenting a godliness, you are to voluntarily submit to His leadership. But that word obedient in verse 20 is not voluntary. It's a command. You are to be obedient to your parents. And dads, it's your job to make your children obey. It's your job to teach your children the gospel. Now, we have a Sunday school. We teach them the gospel. We can always use more Sunday school help, by the way. We have children's church. I'm preaching to the fourth graders and up today, because third graders are down there. They're in children's church. We can always use help there too. We have vacation Bible school. We're thankful this year we can go back to having vacation Bible school. We need help there, by the way. If you can help vacation Bible school, please see Caleb. We especially need help with games, I think. But we need help in vacation Bible school. In fact, I'll just be honest with you here for a minute. You know, we post things on Facebook, the church does, and we post ads. You know, we posted a thing about a vacation Bible school. And usually, you know, when we post things, we might get, it might say, and I don't even know how they know this, but, you know, 75 views or whatever, right? And that's big for us. Boy, 75 people paid attention to our Facebook ad. This Vacation Bible School ad we just posted, 1,150. You think that's good, but my biggest fear is they're all going to show up. I'm not in the habit of saying, don't everybody show up. I'm afraid they're going to be so pent up about, hey, we can go to Vacation Bible School. That's great, seriously, if you'll help us. If you'll help us. But again, Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, bring them up in the discipline or the nurture and instruction of the Lord. Now, it's great. Dads teach their kids a lot of things, very important things. That's why, going back to my introduction, it's a shame when kids are born into single-parent homes, especially with no dad there. That is not God's design. God's design was mom, dad, children. That's Christian orthodoxy. I'm not afraid to say that's what the Bible says. I know there are exceptions. I understand that. There's extenuating circumstances. I understand that. I do. But God's design was man, woman, children. I will also say God's design was not two moms or two dads or three moms and two dads or whatever. It's right there in our text. Wives, husbands, children. It's the dad's job to teach your children the gospel, to know the Lord, to instruct them in the Lord. Yes, we can help, but it's your responsibility. But here's the problem. We all know the problem. I'm well acquainted with the problem. Verse 21, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. It's your job not to embitter them while you do it. And that's there's where the rubber hits the road, right? That word there means to deal harshly or unfairly or arbitrary. Again, this is where these verses we read, 12 through 17, apply. This needs to be dad's attitude too. This needs to be mom's attitude. This is the attitude we need to have as we bring our children up in the Lord so that they don't lose heart. Or as Ephesians 6:4 said, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Don't mistreat them. Don't abuse them. Don't be harsh towards them. You're just going to make them bitter. Instead, show them the love of God. Because that's ultimately who you're raising them for. The instruction of the Lord. So kids, listen. God has given your mom and dad a special place in your life. A congregation is made up of families. And a congregation is no stronger than the families. Let's pray. Now, Lord, there's a lot of important jobs in this world. I understand that. But, Father, I also understand that for a mom and dad, the most important job is to raise their children. Now, yes, they need to work a job so they can raise their children. They need to provide for their family. The Bible talks to dads about that, providing for their own household. I understand that. So you could say your job's important because it helps you to fulfill your obligation to raise your children. Absolutely. And Lord, there's other important things. We know that. But I think the Bible's clear. As a parent, as a father, my assignment is to instruct them in the ways of the Lord, in the nurture, the discipline of the Lord. It starts by teaching them to obey. But Lord, I do also pray for those who are hearing me, that who are the children, that they would obey their parents, for this is right. I think we would all admit, Lord, that as America moves out of this idea of Christendom as we move out of this concept that somehow, you know, we're a Christian nation, as we see that we're increasingly not a Christian nation. It's going to make it even harder for Christians and Christian families and Christian parents and Christian kids. Lord, we want to be a church that stands with families and stands with parents. Now, Lord, we fail often and we got a lot of needs, but God, I do pray that we would work on the side of those trying to teach their children right. So, Lord, I pray, first of all, for our kids. Thank you for our kids. Lord, we have good kids here. I enjoy watching them. They bless my heart, Lord. I've seen them grow up. I've seen so many of these kids grow up and become active adults. I've seen them up front here playing and singing. God, I thank you for that privilege. That's a wonderful privilege. But Lord, we just pray that you would help our kids to be obedient to their parents. Lord, and we pray the parents would understand the best way to bring that about, Lord. Certainly, as they grow, that changes. I understand that. We talked about putting them in a baby carriage, and then they can get out. We put them in a playpen, and then they can get out. We put them in the crib, and Lord, they keep getting in bigger and bigger boxes. But Lord, it's our job as those boxes get bigger to adapt our way of treating them so that it doesn't make them angry and it doesn't embitter them, God. It takes much wisdom, and I pray for our parents that you'd give them wisdom, God. But Lord, we thank you that the Bible speaks to these things. I mean, again, our passage literally said, hey wives, hey husbands, hey children, hey fathers. Amen.